Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and our mission is to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. Now, before we get started, I want to make you aware of our $75,000 matching gift opportunity this summer. So any donation that you give to this ministry before July 31st will be doubled. So simply go to bebroken.org and click on the donate button to double your gift. And anything you can give is appreciated. So thank you so much for your partnership in this vital work. Now, in today's episode, I have a heart-to-heart conversation with Stephen Cervantes about the journey of recovery. And we dive into how it's more than just getting back on your feet. It's really about pausing, finding stability, and reaching out for a helping hand. But that's not the end of the road. Recovery is this beautiful bridge to an exciting phase of self-discovery and growth. So together, we unpack the deeper mission that lies ahead, which is embracing the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and getting to know ourselves better along the way. So if you're curious about turning a new leaf and finding purpose post-recovery, this chat is for you. So join us as we explore these transformative steps to a fuller, love-filled life. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For more resources from us, visit bebroken.org or check out links in today's show notes. And of course, friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now, let's get into today's conversation on moving from recovery to discovery. Okay, Mr. Stephen Cervantes, how's it going?
I am well, thank you.
That's good.
Well, glad to be here. It's been a while.
It has been, you know. Yes. We've been getting so many guests and previous guests back on the program that I'm like, you know, we don't want to get too far away from our core, our, you know, the dynamic duo
the
here.
Legendary. That's it. You know,
so,
that's good.
I'm looking forward to today's topic because, you know, obviously we've been doing recovery work for a long, long time with men.
Yes.
And sometimes we might take it for granted that people know exactly what that means or what we're talking about, right? So why don't we get back to some of the basics in terms of what recovery is all about?
So it's interesting because I took a class on alcohol addiction and sort of, and then I moved into sexual addiction. And, you know, you take classes all the time on different topics and this whole idea of recovery, people use it differently. Mm. And so I thought, and then you and I've had these discussions. If you start in recovery, do you die in recovery? You know, is it just like a lifelong thing? So I thought we should just talk about that a minute because everybody has different ideas of what recovery is. And that's like the old story of the elephant. You grab the leg and I grab the trunk and you grab, somebody else grabs the tail and, okay, describe your part because that's recovery. I think it starts with somebody admitting I have a problem and I got to get some help. Mm-hmm. And so you go find a community of people that are working together and you start working. And then the awareness comes. And I love the whole idea. I've been thinking about, why are we told to worship God and get into community? Because we have to have a relationship with God and be, you know, talking to Him. But we got to be learning from each other, mm-hmm. right? So you go find a group of people.
Well, many times you won't even understand those elements of your relationship with God until you get into community with others, right? That's where all that gets worked out.
Isn't that interesting? Can you really understand the egg?
Can you understand love in your relationship with God until you actually learn how to love your neighbor? You know, so there's a sense in which all those things are worked out in community.
They work together. That's a good thought. Yes.
The other thing, too, that I would say kind of maybe on a higher level, sort of philosophically about recovery, and not everybody agrees with me on this, and maybe we even have different ideas on this, is I think I started my own recovery with the idea of, okay, this is now my new way of doing life. Like, recovery is it.
Is the lifestyle.
Now, after 25 years on this journey, I would now describe recovery, it's a bridge. I believe recovery is a bridge that is trying to get you into the new growth mission that you're meant to be on.
Yes.
And while those things are not totally disconnected from one another, they're distinct from each other in terms of, like, I don't see myself as right now as I'm perpetually in recovery. There was a season.
But there are people that think like that.
I believe there.
And they talk like that.
And I'm not going to get into major arguments with people about that. Right. But I'm just saying, for me, what I finally discovered is, hey, there was a significant journey of going across this bridge that said, you're trying to get to somewhere that is still a process. Meaning, I'm not trying to get to a static destination that says I'm done with any kind of learning or growth. But recovery was about a very specific thing that needed to be addressed in my life that I was bound in, my addiction.
The issue,
I don't say this with any arrogance. It's by the grace of God.
Amen.
I am not bound in my addiction anymore. But I'm still on a mission.
Yes.
But it's not a recovery mission. It is a growth mission. And again, I don't want to try to be too dogmatic about that. But
right. And we don't want to argue with the addiction community.
No.
You do whatever you do and think how you think and talk how you talk. Use all your language. That's perfect. We're just telling you actually some experiences that you've had and I've had.
Yeah, we're trying to bring in a different angle and idea to this whole
issue. Right, but there are people that are dogmatic and they will say, no, you're in recovery and you're in denial if you don't admit you're in recovery. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
If that works, perfect, do it. Do whatever you want to do. You're listening to two guys talking and sharing some thoughts. So here's the two parts of recovery that make sense to me. First, just stop whatever the negative addictive behavior is. Get to a point where you can stop and use all your tools.
Mm-hmm.
First stop, hold that ground as long as you can, and try to, the first part is stop, and the second part is stabilize yourself in this new place of lack of use, whatever you used and needed over a lifetime or 20 years or 10 years or 30, whatever you needed to stabilize your life with. Stop using it and then get to another place and stabilize yourself right there. That is the recovery process in my mind. Two-part process.
I think that breaks it down into a very simple way of thinking. You know, you've got to, I like that, stop and stabilize.
Yes.
You know, now, unfortunately, some people, like you said, they can get so focused on, especially even that first part, that it's like my whole life is now about, like, not doing this negative thing.
Yes.
And the irony, or maybe the paradox in that, is that the more you just stay focused on what you're not supposed to do, you're still very, very close to what you're not supposed to do. Right?
Yes.
And that's why I like that stabilizing aspect, right? Because the stabilizing is saying, no, I want to shift my focus. I've got to put all these boundaries in place. Use all my tools to block my ability to go back to those things that I've been doing.
Yes.
But I want to shift my focus and say there's a new foundation that I need to be standing on. And that's the stabilizing part. Like,
yes.
So it's saying, okay, I'm not going to go to my computer at 9 o'clock at night like every time I have before. I'm instead, you know what, I'm going to plug into a group on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock or whatever, and I'm gonna stabilize.
Yes.
I'm not gonna do this. I'm gonna stabilize over here, and so
stabilize and then put down some roots and start adding some new thoughts and building and repetitive and right, and then so we stop we stabilize and we hold for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Right. I like the analogy you used one time about sometimes you jam your foot in the door. You know, it's like, and then you just got to hold it there. It may get bloody, it may get beat up, but you just got to hold it there.
Right. You know? And sometimes they call that, you got to wedge your way in, mm-hmm. and then you got to hold that spot.
And one thing right. I want to say about that on the stabilizing front is I think it's very important to know that what you're going to be doing in the stabilizing process is all going to feel uncomfortable and unfamiliar to you.
Right.
I want to set that expectation right from the front, because you and I have both seen guys come into recovery and they think, you know, in their lucid moments, they're like, oh yeah, all this makes sense.
Yes.
And then they just think they can flip a switch and all of these new behaviors are going to just feel natural and comfortable and familiar. And it's like, no, your addiction has been what's been natural and familiar and comfortable.
That's good.
And so all of this wedging and stabilizing is going to feel very uncomfortable.
That's good. And you have to experience the discomfort. Why? Because that's the reason you developed an addiction. You don't like discomfort, mm-hmm. stressed and anxious and tired and lonely. Well, get something for relief. Well, no, let's go back to where we left off. Face the stresses and don't be stupid. Right? That's the plan. So when you go into recovery, you call on God for help, right? And you'll hear my higher power. And we're not calling him higher power, but we're calling on God, going, there's a spiritual component here. I can't do this by myself. I need my spiritual resources and my emotional, whatever I can muster, and whatever company will go with me. I need to build a new program, literally, versus the old one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where it's so critical, I think, in this process of stopping and stabilizing. You mentioned it briefly earlier, that we need outside help for that. We talk about God, right? But we need, in some ways, we need that experience with flesh on. Mm. Like, you've got to get into community. This is where so many guys have gotten tripped up in the recovery, is they want to take these principles, but try to divorce them from community, divorce them from relationship.
Yes. I'll just do it on my own.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can do it by myself. I don't want to go with those freaks over there, right? Those geeks and freaks and no, I'm not like them.
Right.
I'm just going to do this by myself, home alone.
Yeah. I would argue that the guys that take on that mentality have not even yet gotten to the stop phase. Because that whole line of thinking is what takes you back over and over and over again into your acting out behaviors. I can do this. I'm on my own. I mean, I know what I'm doing. It's a control mentality, right?
Yeah.
Where stopping is saying, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. And I need the help of somebody else. I need some people looking in on my life. I need encouragement and accountability.
Yes. So we ask for help. Some people will say the serenity prayer. Help me change the things I can change and let the other things go so I don't stay so stressed. Help me know. Give me wisdom, Lord. And go into community. And then accountability. Find some other man that either a man or some men that will help you during the hard times when you're traveling. Have accountability. You know, have a plan. So all this time in recovery, gaining lots of insights into your struggle. This guy said that, and this guy did that, and we're reading a book about that, and somebody shared a podcast or a story. Right, all these pieces come together in group where men are all bringing this smorgasbord of ideas that are different than the old ideas. So that's a good thing. And let me see. Yeah.
That's part of what some of those outside resources are, right? Yeah. You need to read some books. You need to listen to some podcasts. You need to get into, again, community where you guys, hey, there's a guy in here that's got 10 plus years of sobriety and he's going to be able to really help me. And I love that idea of like, because there is an educational process in this, right?
Yes.
Too, in terms of the stabilizing. Yes. You got to learn how your body works, what's been going on in your brain in terms of the chemicals and all those kinds of things.
That's good. And then some people will do step work.
Mm-hmm.
They'll find a workbook or they'll have a sponsor. And there's lots of Christian 12-step books now. And you find somebody else and you just go through the workbook. And finally, in recovery, you hear a lot of sayings. They've got all these things. And one of them I wrote down is, the program works if you work it.
Yeah.
The program works if you work it. And they'll just say stuff like that. You know, keep coming back.
Yeah, and a resource that might even be helpful that I can mention here specifically is earlier this year, we had our friend Mark Dennison on the program, and he's they've got a ministry out in Florida, and he's written a little book called Recovery Rules. It's 100 truisms, and it's all those kind of things, like saying, you know, if you're 90% in, you're 100% out, kind of a thing, like just those types of things that are really helpful,
good.
Like little phrases, like, you know what, if you can be sober for 20 minutes, you can be sober. Talking about like how the dopamine rush settles after 20 minutes. And so if you can hold for 20 minutes. So those types of things are all parts of those insights that I think can be helpful.
Good. That sounds like a good tool. So now I'm having this conversation with this guy. Because remember, you said it, recovery is a bridge. Mm-hmm. Recovery, some people would say it's a lifestyle. But if you see it as a bridge, then you ask, well, what's past the bridge? And the bridge could be a long span bridge. We could be a year, 2 year, 3 years.
Typically,
falling down, getting up, a long bridge is okay.
I tell guys the average length of the bridge, if you really are, like it says, if you're working your program, you know, it's working, is 3 to 5 years for being able to disentangle yourself completely from the addiction.
Guys, I try to sell 1 year because that's overwhelming.
Yes.
But after you do a year and you love it, then you do 2 years and what's the big deal? And then the 3 years.
You gain momentum, right? Yeah.
Yes. And by 3 years, it's like you've cleaned up a lot of the bad thinking.
You're stabilizing, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you're growing deeper and deeper. And then there comes this phase where it's like, is this it? Recovery? And then I die? You know? So I'm asking this guy who I've been watching in recovery about 3 years. I said, do you think anything comes after recovery? And he said, yes. And this blew me away because this is the missing piece in what I've been looking for. And I love this about talking to Christian men. God gives him the answer to my question.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even know it, but I needed that answer. I needed that piece of information. It's like, okay, there's God showing up again. Because this guy's in recovery, and he gave me the answer when I'm out here supposed to be the expert, and I haven't had anybody say it to me in a way that makes sense to me.
Mm.
The way I've been saying is emotional growth, and you said it, shift to emotional growth, spiritual growth, emotional growth, shift over from recovery to growth. But he said it beautifully. He said, after recovery comes discovery.
I like that.
Wow. That put it together beautifully. After your bridge metaphor, when you get off the bridge, you go hiking through some mountains and discovering new things on the other side of the bridge that you didn't even see before. You didn't deeper, richer. The hike you're supposed to be on instead of stuck in the sandbox and, you know, playing around, wasting time, you're now getting on the mission and walking. Don't you just love that?
I love it because one of the things that I think we can get stuck in if we stay only in kind of the recovery mindset is we lose a sense of what is my purpose in life. Because recovery, like you said, recovery is about removal. Recovery is about stopping something that's negative. Recovery is about stabilizing on a foundation of being clean, right?
Right.
Sobriety. I'm sober. I'm not doing these negative things. If we stay stuck there subtly, we're losing forward momentum, right? It's kind of like if you sunk down in mud. Well, recovery is the extraction process. Man, I'm trying to get out of this thing. But
right.
For what purpose?
But I don't see the energy. I see the fighting against, but the creativity, the newness, the freshness.
Yeah.
When does that come in? Okay, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But I'm not made to not do something.
And I do believe that in some of the stabilizing of recovery, these are where these seeds of discovery can be planted. But if, again, I think it's so important that we cast a vision
right
for something that is larger than just getting out of the mud.
Yes.
You know, it's like, man, you were made to run. You were made to like walk with God. You were made to make a difference. Oh, you know?
Man, that excites me to hear that. We have a mission and a vision. We're runners. We're trained to to use these bodies to accomplish things. So after he said discovery, and I asked him for permission, he says, use whatever you want. I said, only you and I and God will know this, but you may hear it one day, you know? And that's what I love about the brotherhood. Oh, every one of them says, use it. Use it. It's for the kingdom, right?
Amen, yeah.
It's for the brotherhood. So I wrote down four things that I think we're supposed to be on discovery missions for. Okay?
Yeah.
Because when you say, well, what is the purpose? If I get off the bridge because I'm tired of the recovery cycle and I would get onto the new growth mission, what am I focusing? So number one, learning more about the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Learning love, learning God's version of love, learning about the creation and I'm the created, and I'm made for love and by love and to love.
I love that because I think there's a lot of Christian men especially that come into recovery and they're wearing their shame and they're very, very knowledgeable about the law of God.
Ooh, yeah.
But they are very unfamiliar with the love of God.
Mm.
And not saying that those things are disconnected. We know that Jesus was the perfect fulfillment of the law, but what was the ultimate law? It was love. And so there's a sense in which, hey, you got to go on a mission of saying, do you know you have a Heavenly Father that absolutely loves you? In the mud that you're stuck
in, bring it, I'm receiving.
He loves you and all your dirtiness and all this. Like,
amen.
And he says, you're not made for that. I've got a mission for you that is going to be so much sweeter and better than that. So,
and they don't know love.
No.
Yeah. Right? So it's about a love story.
Mm-hmm.
And the Heavenly Father's part of the love story. He's like the visionary, right? Then Jesus is like the boots on the ground version of love. And then the Holy Spirit's like, hey, I'm walking with you today. I'm going to show you something.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was talking to that man and he gave me the answer, that was the Holy Spirit working and saying, I got the answer now. You've been asking the question a long time. Here's the answer. Surprise.
Right.
And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit at work, is we don't know when or where things are going to happen, but when we're walking in the presence of God, it's going to happen.
Right.
You know?
That's good.
So vision number one is a love story with me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each of those is their own study.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. So number two, learning more about myself and why. People go, that's selfish. Then why do you have to learn about yourself? Just, you know, others, Jesus, others, remember, and then die. Jesus, others, die. And it's like, man, that theology has messed me up my whole life because I'm not in there. Jesus, others, what about me? When do I matter? And does Jesus want me? Do I have to ignore me? So it's like, no. After we know there's a God, then the next thing is, well, and look at yourself. Because what's hindering you from finding more of him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do we look inside? It's because we got balls and chains and anchors and we got concrete shoes and we're trying to get through life carrying all this stuff he doesn't want us to carry. Look at your stuff and then look up and look at your stuff and look up. But if you never look inside, you've met those men. Good men, they love Jesus and then they die. But they have very poor insight.
Yeah, you know, when you're saying that, I'm actually thinking of Emmanuel.
Ooh, okay.
God with us, but for what reason? When you think about Jesus walking the earth, was he not going around and saying, hey, Stephen, I want you to see what your reflection is, you know, what you're supposed to be reflecting. I'm here because I'm looking at you and I'm saying, I love you and you're made in my image and I want you to know what that means. And in order to do that, man, you got a bunch of stuff that's blocking you from being able to see how I made you and the joy that you can have and the peace and the love.
And your image.
And you can't.
Me. Yeah.
And so it's not, I think so many times, you're right, so many times we have falsely swung this pendulum over to say that if I do any exploration in myself, that it is, it can only be selfish.
Yes, yes. Don't do that. Die to yourself.
Is that God has made us in his image. He wants us to know ourselves in him.
Isn't that interesting? Because we're made in his image, right? And look at yourself, and anything that reflects what you see in him is the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this other stuff that's woven in from childhood, beliefs, and pain. And so that's the second part of what I wrote here. Learn more about yourself so you can uproot the old fears, the old pain, and the old shame.
Yeah. And that just, you know, putting that into the discovery mindset again, right, is we've said it many times. When you go to those places that you've not wanted to go to, right, in yourself, mm-hmm. when you go to those places of shame, when you go to those places of fear, guess what you discover? You discover that Jesus is waiting there for you.
Oh, that's right.
So there's a sense in which you're going to realize, oh my goodness, there's not a single part of my life that God is not there, that God does not care about. And if I'm just willing to go there, do the exploration, do the work of learning yes. myself, I go, wow, okay.
He'll meet me there.
He wants to teach me something there. He wants to heal something there.
Yes, that's good. That's really good. So number three is, after I pursue God, look at myself, then I turn and look at my wonderful wife so that I can use what I'm learning from heaven and about self, so I can turn to wife and we can have a dialogue, because she has past feelings of unworthiness and failing and falling short. Mm-hmm.
She's got old fears and she's got shame and she's got all of those things. You know,
as I was driving over here, I was thinking about this, and it's like, maybe a talk. How many levels of unworthiness do you have? Because number one, it comes from, did Dad pay attention to Mom? Do I feel worthy, loved by my mother and father well? Because if Dad's busy, doesn't have to talk, engage, walk along, train, you might think you're not lovable, so you're unworthy. Level one, unworthy. Then you go to school, and I mean, peers are brutal.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And then you find out that the people around you know you're a freak, and they call you names, and they treat you badly, and then you get another layer of unworthiness. Then you have a bad habit, and you, this is another podcast, I'm going to finish real quick here and get back. But then you meet a wife, and you have these flaws, and then she goes, what? You're like that? And there's another layer of unworthiness. Like, how many layers of, you go to a job, and they go, we don't want you. And you go to a church, and they go, you're not a good Christian. How many layers of unworthiness? So your wife has all this unworthiness in her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And she's married, so you and she can work on this. But if you don't have the right image, if you don't know who you are, so that's number three. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's all part of the discovery process. The interesting thing is, you're saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, we're not only going on this discovery journey with God, on a discovery journey to learn self, but even as we go on that discovery journey to try to learn our wives, there's a reciprocal nature of that too, because then by helping and leaning into wherever there's healing that needs to go on in her life, doesn't that also then reflect back on us? We go, oh man, I didn't even realize there's another layer there too. So there's a sense in which that's supposed to be mutual.
Yes, right? And when it goes you're back learning and forth, growing, yeah. then I get the benefit falling
the
on
discovery
me,
goes
right?
back and forth. Comes,
and we have language and we're learning. And I remember my wife bring me this book. Look at this book. Look at this. It's about the Holy Spirit. There's stuff in here I've never seen before. And it's like, whoa, we get to go learn. We get to go learn that way. And then we get to go learn that way. And then we look that way. We look that way. And right, the world is full of wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So the last one is, after we do the first three, we have to love and serve others.
Yeah.
Right? We reach out with the blessings we have to
tell
others.
Yeah, we're told
others.
To... You know, love God, right, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what yeah. love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. And that even brings in that idea of, like, do you know yourself? Like, how yes. are you? How are you treating yourself? Do you yeah. have that kind of the love that the Father has for you? Do you have that for yourself, so that you have mm-hmm. something to offer to your neighbor? And that's where I think right. all those things tie together. And what I love about this is the the progressive nature of this discovery journey, you know what I love about it? Is the paradigm shift that happens from recovery to discovery is in recovery, we start realizing my whole life has been on a paradigm that is all about making me Lord of my life, focused inward.
Right.
In an unhealthy way.
But right? also trying to fix my pain.
Yeah.
Right? It's a false solution.
But the idea.
But it's me looking in, right?
But it's, but yeah, it's an, it's adopting this mindset that, listen, the only way I'm going to be happy and whole yeah. is if everything becomes about me. It's got to all serve me.
Yeah.
And I love that what we're seeing in this progression. Recovery is about saying, okay, I got to stop certain things. But where does discovery take you? Doesn't it take you to a healthy awareness of self in order that then you can actually serve others?
Yeah.
Like there's a sense in which, oh, you know what? The actual purpose of my life that's going to bring the most fulfillment, the most joy, the most peace mm-hmm. is not one that makes everything serve me.
Right, but it's, I think that's good. And I would say I have pain and I need relief. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use my addiction, right, to bring me some relief. And I'm going to grab, because I'm, but I don't get fixed. So I'm going to grab, right? I want relief. And then people go, why are you doing all that? Why is it all about you? Why are you making the world about you? Look, I'm trying to fix something, okay? And that's the old model. And what's the new model? I'm trying to talk to the Father. I'm trying to slow myself down. I'm trying to nurture and be nurtured with wife. And then, right, isn't that yeah. a much better model to live life than...
Well, again, if we think about Jesus, right, because that is the model.
Yes.
The reason that I think he was so free and it was so easy
okay.
for him to totally give of himself to others is because he absolutely knew without a shadow of a doubt who he was. His identity was totally secure.
Yes.
There was
yes.
no sin or brokenness in his life. You know what I mean? So
right.
that to me is like, well, that's the, man, that's the mission. That's the journey is to say, can I be in a place where these old fears, this shame, all this stuff, there's been such complete and total healing that there's a wholeness in my identity that, Stephen, you know what? If you said that I'm a stupid piece of junk or whatever, that it's like, oh, I may feel that, but at the same time, I'm going, that's not who I am.
Yes,
you know what I mean? There's a sense of,
again,
stability, right?
Yes.
There's a stability there that says, I can go on this learning journey. I can love you even if you hate me.
Yes.
You know, all those kind of things.
And if you're going to throw pain at me today, it's okay. I'll talk to the Father. He won't.
Yeah.
Right? We find ways. Hey, would you be okay reading this prayer at the bottom?
Yeah. So we have a prayer here that simply says, Father, I need your love and vision. Jesus, I need your sacrificial heart. Holy Spirit, I need your guidance. Thank you for inviting me to join the heavenly team. I love being part of this eternal support group. Thank you for recovery and discovery. I love all of you. Amen.
Amen.
That is good.
That is good. Thank you for reading that and blessing us. Thank you guys for showing up. Little promo, if you want to read this devotional, it's at drmarriage.org.
Yeah. And of course, we're here to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. So please reach out to us. We're always glad that you're with us. And we look forward to seeing you here next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.